This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin with me, Tan Chung Han. Overnight, U.S. stocks posted its best day since 2015 as concerns subside over a potential U.S.-China trade war. To help us get a better sense of today's markets, we have on the line Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York. Han, you speak to
him. Good morning, Joe. So the S&P 500 climbed 2.7% overnight. Still some ways to go before making up for that 6% drop that we saw last week. How do you trade under these kind of market conditions?
Well, you just have to be ready for the volatility because we're still working our way through it with the trade tensions with U.S., China, U.S., really with the world. But it goes to show you that the markets are pricing in that the fact that, you know, the worst case scenario with trade wars is not going to happen. So hopefully and soon we have earnings season before us. I think earnings are going to be pretty robust and we're just going to be in this news vacuum until then.
And this is quite a turnaround from last year's story when it comes to U.S. equities. And last year was just a one-way street, only going up. This year, you know, we saw that sell-off back in February and then another sell-off of the last couple of weeks. Do you think this volatility has got substantial legs to it still?
Yes, I do. And just investors have to get used to that, which means you have to own the right assets, good quality corporate bonds, quality anything across the board, because we're going to see more volatility. That's just because of the policy uncertainty. But remember, when the U.S. economy is growing by above 3%, we're seeing our average hourly earnings pick up by 3%, the 10-year year close to 3%. That in itself is a game changer in terms of the volatility and the clouded outlook when it comes to treasuries, growth, inflation expectations. So get used to it. But, you know, volatility is just part of investing.
So how do you balance out all these risks? Then you mentioned some macroeconomic indicators, and also we note, for example, the third estimate for U.S. fourth quarter GDP that's due out tomorrow. You've got data on U.S. personal income spending, data for February that's due out on Thursday, I believe. So how much would macroeconomic data, you know, punch through the other headline risks?
Well, I think it will punch through, is a good way to put it, that, you know, when you get down to the fundamentals of the economy, of earnings, there's more upside. We still have a 3,000 year-end target on the S&P, which is a nice move up from where we are today. But I would just, you know, look at the fundamentals, and we have to be ready for the volatility. But if you got the dividend payers, you look at the emerging markets, you know, whether it's in Malaysia, Taiwan, e-commerce in China, and if you're in for the long run, if you're an investor, then I think you'll be fine. Trading is a little bit more difficult. But to me, take this opportunity in the volatility to kind of rebalance your portfolio, rethink risk management, and make moves now, not later.
Now, Joe, earlier you mentioned that markets appear to be pricing in that the worst-case scenario is not going to happen. I guess this is fueled by comments from U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin over the weekend, saying that he's cautiously hopeful that the U.S. and China can reach this truce before those tariffs kick in, you know. But are you similarly hopeful as well? I mean, what are the risks to the downside here? Or is this a lull when it comes to all the jostling between the U.S. and China?
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't want China and the United States to get into any type of tit-for-tat trade retaliation, trade war. It's not good for earnings for U.S. companies and Chinese companies. But I thought, there is back room negotiations going on right now. And I thought China's response was very measured. I mean, we said $60 billion in tariffs on products, and they came back with $3 billion, like 5%. So China is being put on notice that it hasn't played fairly. It has to level the playing field, and it's moving in that direction with financial services. The question will be, is it going to be enough to pacify the Trump administration? And at the end of the day, one of the key scorecards that the president scores himself against is the stock market. So I think he's smart enough to realize that, you know, if I get into a full-fledged war with China, everyone loses, no one gains. The stock market gaps down. So I think he's cognizant of that. You know, the trade bark is one thing from the trade bite. So we've seen that with the carve-outs over steel and aluminum. I think this will be the same case in China. Although the tensions are going to remain. There's no doubt about that. So it's not going to go away, but I think they're manageable.
And taking a closer look at that key scorecard for President Trump, look, this is a U.S. stock market that just seems to be taking everything in its stride, from North Korea to trade wars and the whole shebang, right? Do you see any potential for some downside risk that perhaps we're not talking about here that, you know, we should be keeping on our radar?
Yeah, I think one is that we don't talk about it. It's just too strong of growth. Growth that's really strong that makes the Fed apparently feel like behind the curve, so they got to move faster. If we got to back up in yields, tighter monetary conditions than what the markets are pricing in, then you could see more leveraged corporations start to have some problems in the credit market, which could snowball into the bankruptcies or just something. Any kind of lost confidence in the credit market. So it's going to be a policy mistake or mishap. I don't think it's going to be trade. I think it's going to be more about the Fed being behind the curve, having to move faster than people realize, and then you're going to see a lot of these leveraged companies across all sectors take it on the chin. That can create its own downside pressure on investment income and confidence. I guess that's the key risk, that growth in the United States is too strong.
Got it. And I guess that's why we got to pay attention to that fourth quarter data coming out tomorrow, I believe, for the U.S. All right, Joe, earlier you also mentioned about having that well-diversified portfolio in times like this, especially given the volatility that we're seeing right now. What about Chinese oil futures? Are you starting to put some funds aside for that? Because it just started trading this week. You getting in on that action?
No, it's too early for us to put any client money to work there. We want to see. We don't like to be the first mover advantage when it comes to new asset classes or new pricing. So, we like the energy sector. We see some value there, but this what you just talked about, the Chinese futures and energy, is a little too new for us. We want to see how the market develops and how much liquidity is in it and who's participating.
But what must happen in China, in your view, before those yuan-denominated oil futures can be counted alongside the likes of WTI and Brent?
Well, they need to continue to develop their capital markets. They need to continue to internationalize the yuan. They need to deepen their global capital markets, let money flow in, flow out. And right now, you don't have that. It's a very command and controlled economy. There's capital controls. The capital account is not convertible. So if you want people's money to come into your country, you have to create the right infrastructure. And China's come a long way. They've done a lot of work in internationalizing the currency and making it easier for money to move in and out. But they're not there relative to the U.S. or the Euro bond markets and other capital markets, U.K., Singapore, and so forth.
Got it. Thank you so much for your time and your insights. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist with U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York.
Next, we'll be back with more news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.